you guys, there's a church, and it's huge, like, not just in size, but it's huge in influence, and it's huge in influence not just here in the Northwest, but in the world, and in particular, it's really starting to get some inroads into famous places, Hollywood and Tennessee and all that. And it used to be called City Church, and now it's called Church Home. Love it. We are going all the way through this new year in the book of Luke with a Jesus Is. Now, Pastor Judah came up with that, wrote a book. It was so amazing. Praise God. We actually started looking at Jesus Is and not even thinking about City Church or Church Home as they've changed their name. And so just know that borrowed, you bet. God gave that to him, and we are just jumping in on it. So we want you to know that we're going through the book of Luke, the gospel of Luke, and we want people to know that Jesus is for everybody. He's for everyone. Now, not everybody wants him, but he still loves them. Jesus isn't just for the people who are rich or the people who are poor or the people who have a particular skin color or from a particular country. Jesus is for everybody. And we're going to see that all the way through the book of Luke. But let's just go ahead and ask the question straight up. Why the book of Luke for a year? A whole year. Homie, there's 66 books. You could get into some others. As a matter of fact, Josh started out with Matthew. I'm going to start out with the book of John today when we're talking about the book of Luke. So, yeah, we're going to get into those books, but why in the world would we go through one book all year long? Anybody? I know there was a spoiler alert earlier. Why would we? What do you guys think? Why would we go through the book of Luke for a year? Slow learners. I am not, that's not why. No, but it's true. We are. It's fresh. It's new every single day. His mercies are new. His word has been fresh and new to me, but it's not because you're slow learners. Oh, come on. Nice. Good answer. And not just because you're cute. It's real. Because we want to know Jesus. This is my Jesus Is, right? Jesus is to be known. Jesus is to be known. He wants us to know him. 29 years of marriage, I know Kathy a little bit. Yeah. And she knows me a little bit. We know a bunch about each other. We're still learning new things. I was on a trip, and thanks for praying for us, because what I'm about to tell you probably kept me from dying because you prayed for me. We're going down to see the Huskies almost win the Rose Bowl. Okay, they got beat. And by the way, Josh is here. He's heard this before. The Ohio State University fans are super proud of spelling Ohio. They do O-H-I-O over and over and over again. I'm like, it's a four-letter word. Get over it. Gosh. Then I started thinking, boy, on Wheel of Fortune, you'd have to buy a vowel. There, they had to buy a consonant, so they didn't just have vowels. It was amazing, and they, over and over again. But that's just me and my brain. I'm driving, and I'm coming down off of the, is it the Siskiyou Pass that takes you right in, right? Going into California, and I'm bringing it, okay? I'm going pretty fast. And I realize, whew, I better slow down. I just take my foot off of the gas, and I see Chips. Anybody know Chips? California Highway Patrol, right? The movie or the TV show. This is real life Chips, right? They're right there. And I'm like, whoo, gosh, I got to slow down. And so I go to get over, and I almost run a Chips off the road because he's bombing by me to get the dude that was going faster than I was, and I was bringing it. And he comes, and I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm never going to fall asleep. And I was like, oh, now I have to tell Kathy and this. And then I was like, do I? And then she's just like, you know, we can't afford a ticket. And I'm like, when can you, really, you know? But yeah, but to know somebody isn't just to know about them. To know somebody isn't just to be aware of them. To know somebody, as far as the Bible's concerned, is to be in an intimate relationship with them. You know, intimacy, right, is to be deeply known and known by somebody. To know things that are so impactful. So for us to know Jesus is such a goal and such a treat and such a gift from God. And he's not like playing coy or hide and go seek with us. And yeah, sometimes we're like, Lord, I know you're there. I just don't feel you. Now, I want to ask, does anybody have that in their heart that sometimes I just don't really feel like God's there? Yeah, I do. Let me put my other hand up because I also feel like sometimes I should know that he's there because of all that he's done in my life, all that he's been, but I still am getting to know him. This whole Beatitudes thing, Josh wouldn't know this. I've been absolutely overwhelmed with Matthew 5 and 6 lately. Here I am getting ready to launch into Luke, and Matthew 5 and 6 keep running through my mind. Be hungry for him, right? Hunger and thirst for his righteousness. You'll be filled. You're going to be filled. Your amazing wife of 29 years may not fulfill you like that. Your kids, your husband, your job, your drugs, nothing like that will fill you like Jesus will. You will be filled by him and with him. And then he says later, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things that you need. They're going to be added to you. Added? No, it's the stuff that I need. No, it's going to be added to you because you're actually going to have first things first and you'll be fulfilled. And I just don't believe that because I'm a pastor. I believe that because I'm desperate. And you are too. We need to know Jesus. And we're going to get to know him. He wants to be known. Look, a whole entire year, we're going to look at this guy, Luke. He was a doctor. He was brilliant. Now, Paul says, not many of you were wise by the world's standards. This dude was. He was brilliant. He was able to write really well. And I don't know how to determine whose Greek skills were better than anybody else's. But all the smart people who know that say the best Greek in the Bible, Luke's. He wrote Luke and he wrote Acts. And he wrote it to this guy, Theophilus. And we'll be looking into that because he wanted Jesus to be known. And he didn't just like have this doctor and this title of being smart. He was also a Gentile. He was far from God as far as being a chosen person. But God chose him. He loved him so much. Look, in this whole year of looking at how Jesus can be known, we're going to learn about some things and some patterns that Luke unpacks for us. And the first one that you're going to see pretty quickly is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit isn't left out by Luke. A lot of Christians leave him out because it's like, oh, it's just weird. And what happens if he actually grabs a hold of this place and people start speaking in tongues? Ugh. That's not all there is to the Holy Spirit. He's God. He's a comforter. He's the encourager. He's the convictor. You're also going to see a ton about prayer. You can't go very far in the book of Luke without people praying. You're going to see Jesus praying. You're going to see others praying. You're going to see things happening in prayer. People connecting, first of all, to God, and then connecting to each other. And there's going to be people who pray, and they go, oh, God, I just prayed. Are we going to get anything going on here? And God shows himself in powerful ways later. You're also going to see praise, joyful praise. I'll admit it right now, I love musicals. I just admit it. Right? We're about to have Willy Wonka at the high school. Please get in on some of that. Not just because Josiah is going to be there. That's cool. We're excited about that. But it's musicals are a big deal. And some of you are like, dude, where's your man card? Ask Kathy. I lost it a long time ago. I have no clue where it is. But you're going to see musical basically coming through there. I mean, we're going to get into the first two chapters and people are singing. Angels are singing. It's literally like a musical. It's joyful and it's praiseworthy because it's Jesus. You're also going to see salvation talked about. Nobody talks about salvation more than Luke. And it's profound. We're not just talking like get out of hell free card. We're talking about saved, like saved from your sin and the strongholds of that and saved to life. And how to live that out, not just someday when I'm in heaven, like we just talked about last week. That's rad. But we're actually in life now, and he wants to give us life now and salvation now. You're also going to see that Jesus loved the marginalized people. He loved people that were set aside by society, put off to the side. Sinners. He loved sinners. Now, everybody's a sinner. Everybody falls short of the glory of God. But there's some people that had all their ducks in a row. So I had to like change that in my head because it was going to be something else like poop in a group or something like that. But instead, all their ducks in a row. Okay? You're like, you just said it. Yeah, I know. Okay. But not just the people that had it together, but the people who had it together and didn't know they needed him, he came for them. But the people who were put off to the side because they made really bad decisions and everybody knew it, Jesus loved them. He loved those people. He loved women who were completely marginalized in so many ways. He loved them. He lifted them up. And Luke talks about women a ton in the Bible. As a matter of fact, most likely his number one reference for his book was Mary. That's a big deal. He loved children. Now, we don't really put children off to the side. We kind of do with, like, we're going to have one and done or two and we're through because I got to be able to have all that I want to have for me and for my kids. But we don't really marginalize them as much. As a matter of fact, we actually kind of worship kids a little bit. They kind of run the show. But not during this time. They were marginalized. And Jesus really lifted kids up. We heard about it on Christmas Eve if you were here and you saw the video. And they're like, everybody's a kid on Christmas. But the reality of all this is that Jesus looked at children as valuable. And Luke records that a bunch. Those are marginalized people. Finally, foreigners. People who weren't Jews. I am super disgusted by Hitler and Nazism and fascism, whatever, being all separatist and all that. That stuff makes me sick. What really just doesn't make sense to me is how a guy can hate Jewish people and say he loved Jesus. Jesus not only was Jewish, but he loved everybody. He came for everybody. Today's Epiphany is January 6th. It's where the history says this is when the Magi showed up. And they were Gentiles, and Jesus showed himself. He was the Savior of, wait for it, not just Israel, but the world, everybody. And he came for everyone, and he loved all these people. It's such a hot-button topic right now to talk about foreigners. Build the wall. Don't build the wall. Gosh. All I want to say to you is Jesus loves everybody. He wants everyone. That doesn't mean go ahead and do whatever you want. He actually had to pay for all of our sin. So there was a price for his love. And finally, we're going to see this all the way for a year. Even though it's the end of the year that we're going to talk about it, you're going to see it building up all the way. Luke writes about the cross and the resurrection in a way nobody else did. It's super clear. It's somewhat graphic as a physician would be able to do. And so since Jesus is to be known, and we're going to unpack this whole, I guess, relationship aspect of Jesus, you're going to have your minds open in lots of ways. You're going to hear stuff you've heard before. You're going to hear stuff you haven't heard before. You're going to hear stuff that really unsettles you. You're going to hear stuff that comforts you. But we're going to make him known that we could know him more and that we could believe him, we could be saved by him, we could share him. There's a guy named Mike McKinley. He's a pastor, and he wrote a book called Luke for You. I can't read my own writing. Pray for interpretation. But he said one of the very best ways for believers, people who already know Jesus, to grow in their Christ-likeness is to spend time learning about and contemplating the story of Jesus. He says one of the best ways I've seen to be able to do this is through Luke's recorded faithful narrative. And so in case all that just hasn't quite grabbed your fancy, let's go to John 17. If you have Bibles, sweet, please open them up, John 17. If you don't, it's up on the screen. Thank you, Robin. And if you really want to just kick off the year right, grab yourself a black Bible and keep it. Wear that thing out. And if you are in the black Bible that's underneath one of these seats, we're in page 903. Jesus has just said, look, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome this world. And then he leads right into this. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. And he said, Father, now he's praying. The hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. So it's not just about Jesus' glory. He wants to glorify the Father. This is the Trinity, and they're all one. And he's like, make a big deal out of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And the Holy Spirit's in here too, but you're going to have to catch that later. Since you have given him, the Son of Man, that is Jesus, authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life. Listen close, church. This is eternal life, that they would know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Why are we going through Luke for a year? Do you guys have an answer for that? What I just said. Check out the podcast. Amen. That we would understand and know Jesus. But just another spoiler alert. He's inexhaustible. So you're going to learn, and then you're going to like, what? And you're going to go, what? And then you're going to ask questions. You're going to wonder, is he going to come through? You're going to wonder, is he there? And he's Emmanuel, and he's always with us. So let's go. This is just kind of weird now. We're going to actually go to the book of Luke. Let's go to Luke 1. And we're only going to go through four verses. Hey, while I'm thinking of it, I think it's in my notes, but we're going to read Luke 1, 5 through 56 next week. So please be reading with us. Read through that. We're going to get into some really, really profound topics. Like, how come I keep asking God for stuff and not getting it? Because that happens in Luke 1, 5 through 56. And then people get it and kind of don't know what to do with it. Maybe you've been that way. So Luke starts out with this. It's on page 855 in the Black Bible. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us. So, like, lots of people have gotten together to write the story about what's happened. And you're going to find out what the what's happened is all about. But he's saying, look, there's things that have been accomplished among us by Jesus. And as much as many people have gotten together to do that, just as those from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered to us. So he's like, he's like, look, let me get this started real quick. The book that's being written that we're about to read is all about Jesus. And many people have done it. And so much so that there's eyewitnesses that they were able to access that talked about this. So, I don't know if you've noticed these boxes. You're like, oh, it's starting to look like Aaron's office, just cluttered. As a matter of fact, yeah, but we have gifts for you. We're reading through the book of Luke this year, and it'll be slow for some, and like Josh said, we're going to fast forward through some stuff for others, and it's going to be like, oh, what are we doing? But we want you to have a journal for that. And the first, well, I would say 100, but there's less than 100 now because some people from first hour took it. But these are for you. We want you to take them. We want you to write them. If you're not going to take it and write in it, then don't take it. Let other people have it. But I need you to know that as a way of showing and teaching, I wanted to share with you right after verses 1 and 2 that I actually am doing this. I'm not just asking you to. I'm with you. I wrote down some stuff in here. I read Luke 1, 1 through 2, and I had to stop. And here's what I wrote. Many have and still do tell the story of what Jesus has done and is still doing and what he's going to do. In Revelation 12, 11, we read that we conquer the enemy by the blood of Jesus, the Lamb, and the word of our testimony. So he's like, many people have gotten together to tell this story. And I'm like, hey, we get to be part of that. We get to keep telling the story. And then I was like, wait, But some people aren't telling the story. And Romans 10, 13 through 15 talks about how will they know unless somebody tells them? How are people going to hear the story unless somebody tells the story? Are you going to be that somebody? And so I wrote all those things down. And then the stuff that was accomplished among us and the eyewitnesses made my brain go crazy. I'm like, that's 1 John. There's eyewitness accounts. That's why we have what we have in the Bible, all 66 books, is because somebody saw it and wrote it down. Somebody interviewed people that actually saw it, and they wrote that down. And so, let's go to 1 John 1, 1 through 4. See, we're going to touch all 66 books in this series. Don't worry about it. So 1 John 1, 1 through 4, it's on page 1021 if you have this black Bible. John, you might remember, he's the one that wrote Revelation, and he was close to Jesus, literally close, physically close. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, all that, the beginning, Jesus, that life was made manifest, shown to us. And we've seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which is with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, and this is the third time now he said it, we proclaim also to you. Look, I just need to stop and say, the reason why I talk about Jesus is because I can't help it. I can't help it. Yeah, it's my job, but I was doing it before I got paid for it. I can't keep him to myself. I've seen and I've heard. Now I wish I've seen his physical face. I haven't. I've seen expressions of his mercy and his grace and his kindness in my wife and my children and my friends and my family and strangers. Gosh, I was walking out of the fairgrounds. And I was with my family, and it's no mystery. I don't like the fair. No offense to anybody who makes a living there or loves it. Go enjoy it for me. But okay, thanks. All right, Jody. Yeah, no. But I'm walking out, and my kids are all safe. That's a good thing for me, because that's part of why I don't like the fair. It's just a zoo and a half. And we're walking out, and this lady comes up, puts her hand on my shoulder, and says, I've been praying for you. Hi, I'm Aaron. She goes, I know. I'm like, who are you? She goes, oh, nobody. I'm like, no, you are. Who are you? And she goes, oh, I've listened to your podcast before. And I'm like, you're one of 5 people that do that. That's amazing. Wow. That's so cool. I'm just tripping. I mean, like a real person listens to the podcast. But more than that, I was just like, I tell people that I don't even know about Jesus, and they encourage me about Jesus, and that's how it's supposed to go. And check this out. We've seen this, and we've heard this, and we proclaim it to you so that you may have fellowship with us. Relationship. We tell you about this, that we could be in relationship together. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So when you're in relationship with John and all those eyewitnesses, you're not just in relationship with him. You're in relationship with Jesus and his daddy. That's how that works. And look, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. We can't help it. We got to tell you about it, that our joy would be complete. And I love it. It also says that in the translation that we have, that you can actually say that your joy, so it's yours and ours. We're going to talk about this Jesus so we can be fulfilled, that we can be complete, that we can be perfected, that we can actually believe this good news. So I ask you, is it possible for us to know or hear too much about Jesus? I'm going to chew on that for a second. Is it possible? I think we could probably hear the same thing over and over again and get a little frustrated with it. We can get some teaching that's pretty incomplete, or, you know, and for me, I struggle with helping you find application on how to live this out. And I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I'm blessed to be a teacher, and I'm held responsible to at least give you some things. And so I really want to ask you, is it possible to hear too much about him, to know too much about him? I'm good. Let's move on to some deeper stuff. Let's get some other stuff other than Jesus. I mean, he's not the only person in the Bible. Come on. No, but he is the living word. He is the Savior. I don't think it is possible. And so I would ask you to look at 2019 as a year where you tried to wear out the knowledge of Jesus. Give it a shot. See how that works out for you. I don't think you will. Not that I don't think you will try it. I don't think you'll exhaust it. That sounded like such a, come on. That's not what I meant. That's not coffee. I'd be all over the map more if that was. So check it out. If it's not possible, then let's look. And we'll finish the last two verses of Luke 1, 1 through 4. So he's like, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, I'm delivering it to you. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, that I wouldn't just hang on to it, right? That I would write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Now, the very first thing that came to my mind, and I wrote it down in here on this most excellent, was that I was a title. And then maybe it was an officer, it was a Roman official. The next thing was Bill and Ted's excellent adventure. Anybody else? Okay, all of us over 30. Okay, great. Most of us anyways. But it seemed good to me also, having followed it for a while, to share it. He was orderly in it. He thought this out. And he wrote it to Theophilus, and his name means lover of God. He was most likely a Christ follower or really interested in Jesus. And all of the tradition and all of just practical looks like he actually paid for this book to be written. And he also wrote the book of Acts. We're not going to go through all of that this year, but we will get into that a bit. What's really cool is that Theophilus was also a Gentile. And that led us to being reminded all the way through the book of Luke that Jesus is indeed for everybody, for everyone. I'm not going to read it again, but I want you to, and it'll be up there for just a second, but 1 John 1, 3 through 4, yet again, it's for our joy to be complete that we would share the good news of Jesus with each other and with people who don't know it, that we would share it in everyday life, that we would encourage one another, that we would remind one another, that we would challenge one another, that we would call each other out and call each other up. And why would we do all that? Well, so we can joyfully know Jesus. Joyfully. Like, joy goes beyond circumstance, right? Goes beyond happy, beyond the warm fuzzies. Joy is deep. Joy is knowing that this Emmanuel that Josh talked about in the beginning, and that we've talked about all the way through the Christmas season, is actually still with you. Know Jesus. Know him joyfully. Be full and complete. That we wouldn't just know him, though, that we would share him. He says, look, I'm writing to you because these eyewitnesses shared it with us. We can't keep it to ourselves. Let's tell. I don't know who Theophilus told. I'm not sure. I haven't looked that deep into his story. There's a whole lot of guessing that goes on with Theophilus. But he was told in these great letters of Luke and Acts about this Jesus. So Jesus is life. Jesus is here. Jesus is good. Jesus is controversial. Jesus is for everyone. Don't keep him to yourself. Don't ignore him. He's life, and he's more life than anybody you've ever met. Let's get to know him again and again and again and share him again and again and again and live for him again and again and again and believe in him again and again and again and watch him save you again and again and again. No, man, he just saved you once. Yeah, but did you need help yesterday? Do you need help today? Does he come to the rescue today? Yeah, now some of us are like, hey, bro, no. I didn't feel him yesterday. I haven't felt him in a while. I don't see him come through. He hasn't changed that obstinate wife of mine. She's not. I was just throwing that out there. But you're welcome. I know. Gosh, today's my anniversary. But for real, though, if Jesus is God and you're not, get to know him the way he wants to be known. He's going to show himself to you and me in ways that are comfortable and comforting and amazing and triumphant. And he's going to really upset the apple cart. He's going to show you and me some things that are just really, really unsettling. He's going to call us to something that he's writing. And I've needed to remember that this week and every week that I've ever been given, that he has authored and finished my faith. I want to know this Jesus because he's doing something in me that I want to actually be a part of, not go, what? But I have a lot of those times. Happy New Year. Would you just get into Jesus? Let him show you how to live. We're going to lay some stuff out. Next week, we're talking about some really, really deep stuff. Again, it's chapter 1, 5 through 56. There's a lot of verses. And you're like, bro, you just took 35 minutes to get four verses. What are we going to do next week? Bring a lunch. No, I'm just kidding. I'll stay focused as much. I will. I can't make you any huge promises. But what I can say is that we're going to do this, and we're going to do this together. And I'm going to work in 2019 to be able to look up there sometimes because I know there's people up there too. Hi, good to see you. Thanks for stopping in. And I saw you on your phones. You're all busted. All right, let's pray. Just kidding. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this day. I'm just grateful for it. Not so much just that it's my anniversary or that it's Epiphany, but it's the only day that we have. Yesterday's over. Tomorrow hasn't even happened yet. Today's it. And you're in it. You already know tomorrow. I don't, but I get to know you. I know there's some of my friends here that have not submitted to you. They don't recognize you. They don't know you. May they take this encouragement, this invitation, this challenge to read your word and to know you more and to live you out. May they take it seriously. May they not be able to go away today or tonight without thinking about this. As they lay their heads down to go to sleep, may they be filled with your word, and may they be filled with the invitation to know you, to believe you, and to share you. God, we repent where we need to repent. There's so many things we do where we're in charge. You're actually the only one that's in charge. Ultimately, you are, and you gave us free will to choose things, and I pray that we would choose you over and over again. I love you, Jesus. Thanks for loving us first. It's in your perfect name we pray. Amen.